You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, I want to invite you back towards the seat as we have remembering and rehearsing what God has done in 2019 and also preparing ourselves what's coming in 2020. There's a couple of themes that show up in Scripture repeatedly, and it's the reminder that God gives us to continually put His Word in front of us. And there's almost like a rehearsing process. Most of, if not all of the Scriptures that we have were passed down via an oral tradition. And so they were told in story form, and they would rehearse them over and over and over again. So everybody in the clan would get a chance to hear, be exposed to the Scripture, but also to internalize it. And they'd rehearse it. One of the things that did is it kept it fresh in their minds. It also kept it fresh in their hearts and what their actions, what they were aiming for with what the actions that they were wanting to do and to live. There's a passage in Revelation chapter 12 that talks about when we finally come down to the end, and it says that the devil's thrown down from his place and he's thrown into the lake of fire. It talks about how we ended up overcoming the enemy. And it says we overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus' sacrificial work on the cross. And then the second part, by the word of our testimony. Our testimony is the story of Jesus' redemption in us and His continual work through us. It makes sense for us to be remembering and rehearsing the story that Jesus has told to us and has worked out in us, and to pass it down, not just because it brings liberation to other people too, but because it also brings life and liberation to us as well. Over this next couple of minutes, as we review, remember, rehearse, I want you to be thinking. You know, Joni talked about you've got a couple days to kind of figure out, you know, what did God do in 2019? And I would agree with that tongue in cheek. It's also one of those things where you get an opportunity to just invite the Holy Spirit to stir some things up, because it's not always the easiest thing in the world to do is to evaluate yourself and to see how you're doing. One of the things that I usually submit to every single morning is I go over to my wife before I leave and I say, take a close look and let me know if I can leave, because I want her to check, because I don't look in the mirror. Yes, I shave my face and I try and do a decent job of that, but I don't spend an inordinate amount of time in the mirror, because if I do, I get drawn to like the 10 magnification mirror. Anybody? It's the one that makes your face look like the moon, okay? I just want to go, and it's like, I start looking in this 10 magnification, I get lost in it. And pretty soon it's like, hey, give me them tweezers. And it's like, I'm going to see if I can get something. And pretty soon, I've got these little blood spots all over my face, because I was like, I thought I saw something when it was magnified by 10. And you're just not supposed to do that. And so I usually just ask my wife, tell me, is this presentable? Because going to her, she also has the perspective of knowing me. I don't know if I've ever been so freaked out as when I was at Men's Warehouse trying on a suit. And they have you stand in the 360 mirror room. And I stood up inside that, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I can see all of Louis. It's like, I never see my back, and I can see my back. And it's like, it blew me away. And in some ways, when we invite someone else to say, hey, what have you seen in me this year? And you invite them to weigh in, you're putting yourself in front of the 360 mirror. There's wisdom and counsel, and God's placed people who trust you and you trust in your life. It's okay to invite them into the process as well, to say, hey, you know, what have you seen in me? Have you noticed anything shifting or changing or transforming over this year? Sometimes it can be something that's very gradual. Sometimes it can be something that feels like the most painful experience we've ever experienced. But in the meantime, we can know God is always at work, and He is going to complete what He started. Now, He didn't complete everything He started in me in 2019, but I can guarantee you He's going to complete it by the time He's done with me. Okay? So we don't grow weary at doing good. One of the things, favorite verses in the whole world, actually a few years ago, my friend Sean, I helped him to write a song based from Psalm chapter 71. We're going to look at this really quick. Psalm chapter 71, verses 17 and 18. It says, O God, from my youth you've taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. One of the primary things that as we grow in our relationship with God and we get older in our relationship with God is to tell other people what God has been doing, because people's faith gets built when they hear the message of life that you're sharing. I can tell you many, many times, you have been personally blessed because somebody opened their mouth and they told a story about God's goodness. This morning, I don't think anybody could have avoided being touched by what Katie May had talked about with the restoration and the transformation from a woman who couldn't even pray at the beginning of the year to someone who can't shut up now when she's praying. It's not bad. You're doing pretty good. Yeah. Super proud of you. Yeah. Yeah. There is something significant when we can recognize that God will even work through and use us too. He's not going to just use other people. And you can think, well, how do I know he'd use you? Because he'll use anything that's available. There's a story about Balaam and his donkey in the Bible. Balaam is riding his donkey, and he's trying to get to a spot so he can get above Israel so he can curse them. And the donkey sees that there's an angel in front of him, and the donkey won't go. So Balaam takes his stick, and he beats the donkey. And he keeps hitting the donkey. And after like 3 or 4 times, the Balaam is screaming at the donkey. The donkey's all, dude, what's up with you? And Balaam didn't say, wow, donkey, you can talk. He had this conversation. He says, there's an angel here. And Balaam gets to see the angel. So God used a donkey to talk to Balaam. He can use you and me to talk to other people. Because you have a heck of a lot more value than a donkey is. And hopefully less stubborn. Over this year, we did 6 different series. And I'm going to sum up each one with a 30-minute summary. No, not 30 minutes. With the theme being restoration, I went into the year believing I knew what this would look like for me, which is a really bad plan. If you feel like, yeah, God, I know what you need to work on here, work on this. He does not always work on the things we want him to work on. Often he will work on the things that he wants to work on in us. And sometimes he doesn't work on the El Guapo things in us, the big stuff, the glaring need. How about you help me in here? He's working on something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I was getting a massage not long ago, and my massage therapist said, I've got pain like down in this area, down lower back. And so she starts cranking on my neck. And it's like, no, it's lower. And it's like I'm laying on the table, and she's rubbing it up in here. And it's like I'm trying to like arch my back up towards, it's like to get it closer to where she can actually, yeah, closer, like 2 feet down. Yeah, there we go. And then she hit this thing up here, and the thing down here that was in pain twitched. Anybody ever had that happen? That's cool. It's really cool because your body's totally connected. God does that with us all the time when he's working on stuff and we're trying to say, no, God, here, right here is where I need you to do this here. And he actually is working up here. He's like, why is he doing it up there? It's not bad that it's up there, but I really like it down here. Oh, that's the spot. The creator of the universe, the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, the one who is our heavenly father is also the one who knows us best. And when we invite him to work in our lives, he's going to work and to transform and to make us new, even when we don't always know what that's supposed to look like. So we began this year in the book of Nehemiah, talking about restoration. And I think the thing that stood out to me the most about Nehemiah is the sometimes restoration begins with very bad news. For Nehemiah, it was finding out his home city's destroyed, the wall surrounding it's been wiped out. But Nehemiah's response, and I think this is something that we can look at whenever, you know, God's wanting to do something in us, we stop, we feel, we pray, and we fast. We don't just respond. It seems like, well, I just got to do something. A lot of the times, we look in the scriptures and we see people who are responding and they just have to do something and they respond in their own strength and not in the direction that God gives to them. Nehemiah takes a moment to be able to stop, to feel where he is, and he's going to seek God because God's going to direct him on what steps do you take. When things have been broken, when things have been stolen, things have been lost, sabotaged, destroyed, our God restores. And wherever you happen to be right now, I hope it's in a different spot, especially if it was having difficulty at the beginning of 2019. But I can tell you, our faith is built for times of difficulty. And God is not thrown into a panic when he looks at the news and says, oh man, I can't believe what's going on in the world today. He is capable and able and will complete the work that he started in us. And in the middle of the storms, we can be at peace and know that he's going to be working through us. I think coming out of that Nehemiah series, the thing that really stood out to me the most was that I want to be able to know what my response will be when stuff's going to hit the fan. And I love over and over again whether Nehemiah would take time and he'd go set himself apart to God and pray. But there's multiple times in there when he doesn't know what to do. It says he just shot up a quick prayer. He's standing in front of the king one time, and the king says, "Hey, Nehemiah, your face looks all troubled. What's wrong with you?" That's grounds for being killed in the Babylonian Empire. And it says Nehemiah shot up a quick one. Boom. And then he told the king. My hope is that God is going to be continuing to restore our prayer times. And it doesn't have to look like something that's been before, but he will restore and make things those things new. What prayer looks like, it can be a time where you're shooting a prayer directly up to God. Maybe it's time where, like for me, when it comes time to pray, I have a very difficult time sitting and praying. I bow my head and I pray, and I think it's been like 3 hours and it's like 26 seconds. And I get, my mind starts to wander, and I want to be self-controlled. I want to have my mind disciplined. And I find that unless my feet are moving, I have a difficult time with that. I don't know, when I think, when I'm trying to process stuff, I'll get the vacuum out, and I'll go vacuum stuff, or I'll wander around. Sometimes you're in a conversation, you wander around on the phone. Anybody besides me do that? Okay, I don't know what the connection is, but it seems like there is one. I found that I can do much better at praying and taking my request to God if I'm walking. And so a lot of the time in the morning, I'll take my cup of coffee, which is me and my time with Jesus, and I'll start walking around the island. And I'll just go around the island, and it's very easy to pray. And I take another lap around the island, and just whatever's coming up. And sometimes I'm just being quiet. But it's helped me to orient myself towards setting myself to be in a receptive spot to hear from Jesus. Because when he's going to do restoration, he's often going to be doing restoration out of a spot that's been demolished. Okay? We get stuck in the part that's been demolished. He says, "I can work with this." Does that make sense? Okay. The second series we did was our Easter series called Made New. And it kind of spun off of the scripture in Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, 5 says, "Behold," Jesus says, "I make all things new." And it really was meant for us to understand better the concept of justification. And justification is a fancy word that means being made right with God. So it doesn't matter what we were before Christ, but in Christ we are now a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And when God is doing something to make us new, he's taking out the old and he's inserting the new. He's giving us new instructions on new ways to live, new ways to interact with each other. Things that we talked about were the new commandment. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." He's talking about how we can come to him every single day and depend upon his provision. We don't have to live on day-old bread. We can come to him and recognize his mercies are new every single morning. Jesus came to give us new life and that we would be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he would also be helping us to live led by the Holy Spirit. Coming out of Made New, we had a series called Live New. And this was out of the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come. Because this talks about sanctification, how the process of being made holy in Christ. And so as we're looking at some of these things, I don't know if you remember any of the things that God was talking to you about as we're going through it, but I can remember looking at this and thinking, okay, God, all the things I want to be restored in, I feel like my understanding of you has been really growing, and I feel like I get who you are and what you want to do. And you know, I'm waiting for you to do this restoration. I had this whole list of things and with relationships and with other stuff. And then I went to the doctor one day because I was having pain in my gut and having pain in my shoulder. And he said, "Looks like you're going to have a year in the body shop." And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, you know about your shoulder, and that's going to be a really long rehab. But you've also got a torn stomach muscle. And here, let me put my finger." And he sticks his finger in my belly button. He says, "Feel that?" And it's like, "Yeah, I feel it." It's like, "That's a hernia. And your hernia is coming out. And so we're just going to operate on that. So you're going to definitely meet your deductible this year. But you're going to come out the other side good as new." And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to do hernia operation. I don't want a shoulder operation. I want healing. I want God to do his, you know, "You're all better. I want it right now." I sounded a little bit like Veruca Salt at the moment. "I want to be healed now, God." And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I remember this is the year of restoration. And I heard, you ever hear your own words in your ears? And it's like really frustrating. And so for me, I hear Louis say, God is a God of process. And I'm like, but I don't want the process. I just want him to heal me. He says, no, but God's a God of process. And it's like, by the end of this year, this process that you'll go through, you'll be as good as new. And for me, one of the areas of transformation this year has been dealing with mindsets about how I see myself and my worth, my physical body working the way it's supposed to work, dealing with something that hasn't been right since I was 16 years old, my right shoulder. And it's not all the way there yet, but I just got cleared. I have full range of motion in my arm, 100% clear, and do core workouts with my hernia and stuff like that. And they just gave me a 10-pound weight restriction so I can actually lift a dumbbell. And I'm looking forward to actually being able to move. A year ago at this time, I was just frustrated and in pain and having difficulty and being angry at God. And being on the other side of this a year later, I can say, oh God, you're good. And your processes were good. I didn't like it at the time because it didn't go fast enough. But he's not interested in the speed because he wants our hearts in the process. And so in the middle of it, he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He doesn't make the bad stuff happen, but he allows the bad stuff to be a point where he can say, I can work with this and bring restoration. Because in Christ, he wants us to live new. And that living new is a hard thing to do because we have an old program that's very easy to run. It goes on autopilot. You wake up in the morning, that program kicks in. Okay? Maybe that program is grumpy. Maybe that program is upset. Maybe that program needs its coffee. Whatever's happening. There's also a program, the Holy Spirit is wanting to invite us to a new way of engaging that's not different than we are. It's not like you become, you know, on one hand, you're, you know, Mr. Gloomy, Puddle Glum, you know, Eeyore, and on the other hand, you're Mary Poppins, okay? That's not what it has to look like, but there's this engaging every single morning in putting on Christ. It's not being fake. It's, I'm going to do what Jesus would be doing if he was walking in my shoes. And it's a cognitive decision that every single one of us makes, and it's going to look different for every single one of us because there's not a list of what would Jesus do if he was walking in James's shoes or Matt's shoes or Coral's shoes or Stephanie's shoes. You're going to know that because he's given you the freedom and the creativity to be able to express that in how you live. It's a mosaic and it's beautiful. This summer, we did something I've always wanted to do. We went through the minor prophets in a series called Remember. And what were the purpose of the prophets? The prophets in the Old Testament were there to speak on behalf of God because people didn't have the Holy Spirit. Nowadays, prophets are here to help people learn how to hear the Holy Spirit so they can hear God for themselves. But back at this time, the prophet's role was to hear God and then to tell the people about it, and especially as like the point counterpoint for the king. And it was especially important for the prophets to remind the Israelites of God's law, God's promises, what God had called people to do, and how he'd called them to live. For us to be people of restoration, as we remember and rehearse, there's always going back, did God say? It's not uncommon when the enemy comes at us, he will throw partial phrases that God has used and he'll twist them. With Eve in the beginning, he says to Eve, did God really say this, this, this? He'll challenge the very words. When Jesus is being tempted by the enemy, the enemy tries to take scripture and say, hey, why don't you throw yourself off the temple? For the Bible says that he'll give his angels charge over you and they'll catch you up before you even hit your foot against a stone. He's attempting to draw us into this debate, twisting God's words. What God wants us to do is to rehearse his words to be able to say, actually, it's written, you should not put your Lord, your God to the test. Actually, it's written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Actually, it says, you shall worship no other God except for me. So, behind me, Satan. It's this familiarity with the word where it becomes not just this great opportunity to have answers for trivial pursuit or some sort of, you know, question and answer game, but in the moments of crisis when we're trying to figure out what am I supposed to do, how am I supposed to respond, when we've been rehearsing it, it gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to draw those things and to bring them up that we have an answer when it's an appropriate time. That makes sense? So, part of the restoration is the remembering process. This fall, we went through the book of Ephesians, Rise and Shine. What does it look like to do everything that we do for the praise of God's glory, to be the Monday morning church? In everything that we're doing, We're doing it to bring glory to God. There is no inconsequential job. There's no inconsequential person. There is no inconsequential role. Every single one of us plays a vital role within the body of Christ, and every single one of us has the opportunity to bring glory to God by the way that we live, move, act, etc., in the real world and also when we gather here. It's something that when we're all functioning in the way God made us to function, we get to move towards growing to full maturity as measured in Christ by speaking the truth in love to one another. And we all play a role in getting equipped for that. The pastor is not the only person who plays the role in helping to build up the church. The church also plays the role. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. We encourage each other. Some of the best discipleship you're going to get is going to come in the form of a small group discussion, or it's going to come hanging out with the guys around the breakfast table, or it's going to come working in the cafe and people are encouraging each other, sharing what's going on with their life. The lessons that God has taught you are valuable and can bring life to the people who you will share those with. The Christmas series that we finished with is gratitude. Being people who cultivate gratitude, being people who are thankful, grateful, and mindful as a way of life. And I think part of this is wanting to be intentional and oriented towards thankfulness instead of complaining. And I think part of it is my natural programming is pessimism. My natural programming is critical. My natural programming is negative. And it's very easy for me to fall into that. And I used to call it being a realist. I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. And what I was actually doing is I was not extending hope. I was not believing for anything good that God would want to send my way. I was kind of hedging my bets. If I don't hope, it's not going to hurt as bad when it doesn't happen. God says, no, I've called you to hope. I've called you to dream. I've called you to think about what's coming next. After you've had a few of those dreams shattered, the last thing you want to do is, no, I'm not thinking about what's coming next. I'm thinking about what's coming in the next 10 minutes. I'm focusing on right here, and I'm not getting out into disappointment land. One of the things that God has invited me to start doing this year has been to start dreaming again. And it's like, when did I stop dreaming? And I look back over the years, I can go back almost 5 years. There was a lot of really hard things that were going on in our life at that time. Part of it you may hear about when my spiritual director's here sharing. David Pinks is going to be speaking on the 19th. But there was enough of it where it's like my goal was to survive. I didn't know if my marriage was going to make it. I didn't know if my kids were going to make it. I didn't know if I was going to make it. And I didn't want to get past this. And I've seen God bring healing. But there was an area that didn't get turned back on. And that area is dreaming. And I don't know what that's supposed to look like. I'd like a list. Can you tell me what I'm supposed to dream about? Give me a bullet point of how do you kickstart this? I mean, back in the day when I had a little moped that wouldn't start because it was too cold outside, I just get the starter fluid, take off the air filter cover and spray the starter fluid directly into the intake and then start it and then watch the flames come out and then put the cover back on and then I drive it. And it was a very easy, straightforward process. And I'm like, God, you want me to start dreaming? Can you kick some starter fluid in there? And it's been one of those things. I don't know. I want to start dreaming, but how do you do it? Ready? Everybody? 1, 2, 3. I can tell you this. 2 weeks ago, I had two dreams, night after night, in ways I've never dreamed before. And in one of them, God gave me the Christmas Eve message, and you could say, did he now? But the other one was our theme for 2020. And I don't know, I'm sorry, it's like, this is God-given, you know, theme for the year, so nobody criticize it. It's one of those things where it was so different than what God's done before in my life, I don't really know what to do with it other than to say, there's a new thing, and I'm not really sure what's happening with it, but I'm just going to throw it out here and see what happens. And that's where we're going. Remembering and rehearsing. What did God stir up in you this last year? What has he done? What is he doing? What has he spoken? What is he speaking? What are things that you've learned or you are learning? Where are you in a process? Have you shared any stories, testimonies, the threads of God's goodness and his work in and around your life? Are you still in the middle of the process of pain? Whatever your answer is to all of those, you can know that God is not going to stop until he completes the work that he started, and that he is desiring to walk through it with you and not to leave you alone or abandoned on your own. Let's look at Psalm 71, 17 and 18 one more time. Oh God, from my youth, you've taught me and still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Rehearse and remember. Remember and rehearse. Share what God has done with you with the next generation. So what's coming next? Our theme for 2020, Foursquare's theme, is compelled by Jesus. And I went to bed praying about, what should we do? And I have been listening to a little Kanye lately. But the theme that we're doing for this coming year is Jesus is King. Jesus is King. One of my favorite quotes ever was Elvis Presley. Somebody said to him, "Hey, Elvis, you're the king." And he says, "I'm just a man who sings. Christ is King." Jesus is King. When Jesus first comes to us, he comes to us as our Savior and Lord. Savior is very easy. Lord is a process. What I see Jesus is King series being about, it's learning to interpret and live out our lives in the context of how does Jesus affect me and how does he affect this situation. So instead of interpreting my Christianity based upon my circumstances, it's interpreting my circumstances based upon my relationship with Christ. And that goes from how I interact with people, it goes to how I deal with money, it goes to how I function in the civic world, it goes to how I do my job. If Jesus is King, what's the effect it's going to have on me? One of the scriptures that is like the driving force behind this for our Foursquare family, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." In a nutshell, this is saying, because of Jesus' death on the cross, because he died, anybody who puts their trust in him has experienced the consequences of death as well. And that we, being compelled, controlled, led by the love of God, want to share that with every person we come across with, every person we encounter. We want them to know who he is. I want you to watch a one-minute video. This is from our current president of Foursquare, Dr. Glenn Burris, and it's just a little bit of an introduction about the 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm going to talk about how we can do the hard reset or reboot and how we're planning on participating here at Hillside. And so, Chris, would you snag those lights for me back there? And let's go ahead and watch this.
We often think of prayer as moving God, but in reality, prayer moves us. It aligns us to what he's doing. I remember when Paul and Silas prayed and worshiped in Philippi. God sent an earthquake, and all of a sudden, what seemed like persecution turned into the evangelization of an entire town. Starting January 1st, 2020, the Foursquare Church is coming together for 21 days of prayer and fasting centered around our theme, Compelled by Jesus. We're compelled by his love. We're compelled to bring his light and life to a hurting world. The renowned Lausanne Covenant states, evangelization would require the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. And this year's prayer focus centers exactly on that. Every believer must be activated. And yet this is not first a call to arms, but a call to our knees. We must pray the Lord of the harvest to see a changed world. To join us, simply visit foursquareprayer.org and sign up. You will receive daily devotionals and testimonies to encourage your faith as we pray together with one voice for the greatest outpouring that our generation has ever known.
When King Solomon was dedicating the temple, there was a whole set of instructions that came along with the temple dedication. And basically, what God ended up saying is, like, there could come a time where the people of Israel turned their back on God, They've walked away from me. You're experiencing great conflict economically, militarily, politically. There's all sorts of turmoil. And you kind of figure in that particular situation, what are you supposed to do? And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, this is what God said the prescription is. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. This is an opportunity at the beginning of 2020, to be in a spot where we're inviting God into our circumstances personally, but also corporately. We're asking him to work in and through and around us and to bring healing. Not that, I mean, as I started 2019 thinking I knew what restoration was, I don't know what God needs to do in 2020, but he does. And I want to align myself with him and with his purposes. And we have some hard copies of the devotionals. They're going to be in the foyer after church, but you can just by going to foursquareprayer.org, you can sign up and get a in your email box, or there's even an app that will lead you through a daily devotion, helping you with the opportunity for prayer. When it comes time to think about prayer, I told you a little bit about what I do to my trick to pray. I walk in a circle. I keep a notepad of things I want to write down. Anybody, when you started praying before and you had a whole list and then you get ready to pray, you don't have your list, you don't know what to pray? Okay? In moments like that, because it happens to me too, I will speak in my spiritual language and I'll pray, and I'm praying God will bring to my mind, what are the things I need to pray about? And I'll bring those. But prayer, sometimes if we think about it, it's in a very formal way, it can almost be like we need to bust into King James English to do it right. You know, sovereign God, we come before thee on this blessed Sabbath day, and righteousness, justification, transubstantiation, that's all the words I know. And it's keeping distant. Prayer is an opportunity for us to engage in communication with God, both talking and both listening and receiving. And when we speak to God, you can know this, he speaks your mother tongue. He doesn't come to you in a foreign language. He comes to you in the language that you learned as a baby. So that you can speak directly from your heart and know that he's going to be able to hear it, he's going to be able to receive it, and he's going to respond. My desire is that in this time, there are new habits of prayer that get started in my life. I wrestle with setting aside time to pray, not because I don't know that it's a good thing to do, but because it's a discipline. And it's challenging, and everything wants to fight for that time. If you don't believe that that's under siege, try to set aside 10 minutes to pray sometime. Everything will go wrong at that moment. The glove compartment will malfunction in your car. There'll be all sorts of stuff. It's like, how did this happen? It's because it's an attempt to distract, but stay with it. Fasting. Anybody stoked about fasting? Fasting, food is good. I love food. Food is spiritual. We try and incorporate food in just about everything we do here. Why do we fast? Well, we're trying to twist God's arm to make him do what we want, right? I took 3 days, God. Now you have to do what I say. No, that's not how it works. Fasting is a reminder, like when Jesus fasted, the devil said, aren't you hungry? And he says, yeah, but man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Fasting is saying there's something more important for me to eat than food. And that's time with God and his word. The longest I've ever fasted was 7 days. And at the end of that 7 days, I had a terrible confrontation with somebody. And it was wonderful and terrible and all this other stuff. I don't know if that was how it was supposed to go. But all I know, I don't think God's so much concerned with the amount of time that you fast, but that you set yourself apart to him to do it. My goal over these next 21 days of January is to take one meal a day. Every day. Sometimes I may do an entire day, but that's between me and him. But I'm going to take one meal every day, and I'm going to make that a mealtime that is set apart to be with Jesus. And I'm going to have lunch with Jesus, but we're not going to eat. And what are we going to do? We're going to hang out in my office, or we're going to go for a walk. We're going to talk, and I'm going to say, Lord, line me up with your thought processes. Do a revolution in my soul. Lord, help me to love in a way that reflects you. And I'm praying because I want God to take this man here, and I want him to shift me into be the person He wants me to be so that I can be the most effective husband and father and grandpa and friend and brother and son and pastor that I can be. And it's not going to happen if I'm going in with my list of stuff that, God, here's what you're going to do. The list I'm going in with is, Lord, here I am, change me. There's lots of different ways to fast. There's the Daniel fast. Anybody heard of the Daniel fast? Daniel fast is where you don't eat anything good. Okay? Water and vegetables and fruit. You can think, well, that's wonderful. No, it's not. But you get it. And that's one way to do it. You cut out a meal. Other times, you know, some people say, well, I'm just not going to eat any sugar during this time. Whatever. There's not a, does God approve? You know, Peter's up in heaven. He's got his list of approved fasting items. Oh, Dustin, sorry, that's not going to be able to be pulled off this year. Give up a little bit more. Cut out some carbs, buddy. Whatever it happens to be. That's not how it works. It's, okay, God, I'm setting this apart to you. If you know what you need to do, God puts it on your heart, then you do it. So that's my invitation. And at the end of this 21 days, I'd love to see what God has done as far as a reboot and a restart in our own hearts and our own congregation. And I don't know what this looks like at the other side. It's like going into this 21-day process and saying, okay, God, do what you want to do. I just know, based upon what He did in 2019, I'm looking forward to 2020 because He's good and His mercies are new every morning and He's bringing about new things and He's transforming here in the areas of my physical body that weren't working the way that they should or working now. And I've also learned some things about God's faithfulness in the middle of that. My prayer is that this year of restoration leads into something significant for you. He completes the work He started, but He will also take you into a new phase with new blessings. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that's true. I thank You for your message of life and Your promises that You will fulfill, that You will restore, You will make new. We ask, Lord, in looking back at 2019, the areas that are still left undone, unresolved, not completely restored yet, we ask You to help us not grow weary, but to continue sowing seeds of good in that direction, that we would see the result of that. We invite You, Lord, to continue the work that You want to do in us. Have Your way in us. And as we look forward to this next month of prayer and fasting, an opportunity to set ourselves apart, we thank You for the opportunity, Lord, that we do not have to try and find You because You're hiding from us, but you are near to the ones that are seeking. And I pray that You would build Your character into us, Lord, that we be people of Your disciplines, of Your prayer, of word, of worship, of fasting, devotion to You in Jesus' name. With everybody's head still bowed, I want to give you an opportunity, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus, to do it today. He said if anybody believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that He's Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And if you've never started with Jesus and you'd like to, I just would invite you to lift your hand up today saying, nah, that's me, I want to start with Him. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Amen. You can look up. I was really stoked. I heard a couple things over this last week where a couple of the younger kids in our congregation received Jesus at home. Another one received at Christmas Eve. And it's a really cool thing to see our young students coming to know Jesus from a very young age. As we wrap up, there's going to be some people up here who are available to pray with you. Katie, you're going to be up here, right? Okay, good. She's good. You should hear her pray. There'll be several people up here available to pray with you. If you want to find out more about starting a relationship with Jesus, or there's something that you just like would have somebody agree with you on, that'll be available right up here. Other than that, I want to say God bless you. Happy 2019, and may 2020 be the best year yet. I believe that God only does good things, and He's not going to stop doing what He started until He completes it in you. Look for it. Right on? On. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.